Recording this at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, January 23rd, looking ahead to the conference title games and beyond. I'm Todd Wright. Thanks for listening to my podcast. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Brandon Legal Group sponsors everything I do. As a paid non-attorney spokesperson, they asked me to remind you that they hope you never need legal assistance, but if you do, they are a full-service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area and would be happy to offer you a free consult. Visit BrandonLegalGroup.com to request that free consult or call 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. 10 playoff games in the books. I'm 7-3 against the spread. I did not have every winner the last round, as I had the Bears winning over the Rams, but had the cover. It's been a different year. You know, I just look at the four teams that I'm not telling you anything you don't know. There's no Mahomes and Chiefs, which I predicted, much as last year I predicted they'd get there and fall on their face. Mahomes wasn't part of these playoffs. Lamar Jackson wasn't part of these playoffs. Much of this is the argument for or against what is going on in Buffalo as it relates to the Bills and Josh Allen having an easier path, but I'm not sure they had the team. I still like the debate that we were having before. The Bills beat the Jags, Bills lose to Broncos, Bills fire coach, promote GM, and here we are as of Friday the 23rd. The argument that is the Bills championship window still open because of Josh Allen, or did it close a couple years ago, and just because Josh Allen is there, you refuse to see that it is closed? And I guess a new coach may determine whether or not it's still open or reopened. An argument against the GM being promoted is, since Allen was added to the Bills have only drafted two guys who have made a Pro Bowl. This is often an argument I make against University of Florida players, and the Bills drafted one of those in Elam, who failed in Buffalo, then also failed in Dallas. As it relates to University of Florida players failing badly in the National Football League since the second Pouncey was drafted going back over a decade. It's been pretty much one failure after another. Very few successes, nothing really big. So back to the four that are playing. In no particular order. New England wasn't a playoff team last year, not even close, under a different coach, a bad idea from Bob Kraft. Denver was a playoff team, first year with Bo Nix at the helm, right? Lost in Buffalo, wasn't expected to win that game in Buffalo, but made the playoffs. Foundation of what became the team we are seeing now, and part of why I thought Kansas City's run atop the AFC West would end to the Denver Broncos. This has gone as expected. The Bo Nix injury, certainly very unexpected, almost unprecedented with what's going on here with the quarterback situation and Denver playing a guy who hasn't played in 3 years. Over in the NFC, the Rams lost in the divisional round last year to the Eagles in a game that to me felt like winner wins it all. And despite so many things going the Eagles' way in that game and them winning it, smart Eagles fans will still tell you they were scared to death up only six because there was a missed extra point late when they were trying to put the game away. as the Rams had the ball around the 20-yard line with a fresh set of downs, enough time and a timeout, and did nothing with it. And the Eagles advance, went on to blowouts in both the conference title game and Super Bowl. Rams win in that spot this year, despite the efforts of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And now the Rams got to deal with the Seahawks a third time. Previous two meetings, Rams won one because Darnold had an awful game, but the Seahawks were right there in it. Second time, Rams up big, Seahawks come back furiously. Very strange replay review on a two-point conversion where Charbonnet, now out for the year, he's their Bo Nix, just picked up a loose ball and gets 2 points for it. And it turns out to be the reason why Seattle goes on to win the game. Seahawks didn't make playoffs a year ago. Let me bring up what I often bring up about what you need as a head coach to reach and win Super Bowls the last decade. I've done this a lot with those of you who listen, so I'm not going to walk you through every Super Bowl. But I make the case, the last defense-only head coach to get to a Super Bowl was Dan Quinn in Super Bowl 51, blown 28-3 lead to Belichick and Patriots. Last year in this spot, you had offensive head coach versus defensive head coach in both of the conference title games. In both of those title games, the head coach with the offensive background beat the head coach with the defensive background. What about this year? We have the same thing. We have both games, head coach with offensive pedigree versus head coach with defensive pedigree. And in a very odd thing I had to have pointed out to me, it is Mike versus Sean, spelled S-E-A-N, in both games as well. Both Mikes are defensive guys. Both Sean's are offensive guys. Both Sean's have won Super Bowls as head coaches. One of the Mikes has obviously won a Super Bowl as a player for the Patriots, not as a head coach. So based on that and that alone, Denver should be playing the Rams in the Super Bowl. But Bo Nix isn't there. And I can't get around, I had actually been saying, and I have friends who will attest to this, before the Phillip Rivers thing ever happened with Indianapolis, about a month before that, I was saying to some friends in the golf business that I see a lot, you know, if Bo Nix goes down with some broken bone in his foot, I actually did say this, if Bo Nix goes down with some broken bone in his foot, who does Sean Payton have on speed dial? Because they can't expect to finish the job and get to a Super Bowl and win it with Jared Stidham. And here we are. So the Colts did what I thought the Broncos would do, but the Colts had the need with the Daniel Jones torn Achilles before the Broncos did. I'm not saying the Broncos couldn't have done that this week. I'm just going to say it. Peyton Manning's 49 years old. Doesn't seem like that old. Granted, it's 4 years older than when Tom Brady last played. Brady a freak. Manning more using his head. But I had been thinking about this for a while. I don't have anything to go on that Jared Stidham can do the things necessary to win these two games. He does have Sean Payton as his head coach. He does have an entire locker room that is going to have his back. He does know this offense. He has a defense that if they play at their highest level could keep them in the game and keep giving him chances, short fields, turnovers. I think I'd feel differently if the Broncos had a running game I believed in. You know, Dobbins did all right. I guess there's a chance he plays. Harvey did get in the end zone a lot, but where was it last week? It wasn't there. And you know what? The Bills just look bigger and more physical up front defensively. Denver couldn't run the ball with running backs. They couldn't do it. So if the Broncos had a running game that I could believe in, I might feel stronger about, yeah, Stidham could do what Frank Reich did. But it's not like Stidham had a big comeback at Maryland. And with what we know about Frank Reich, we don't know a lot about Jared Stidham. We just know that he's been in the league about 7 years, and in a league that doesn't have 32 worthy starting quarterbacks, why do we think he was a hidden gem? He's played for the Patriots, the Raiders, and now the Broncos, and he's only played kind of in emergency situations, never a situation he's the guy, he's the best chance we have to win. He hasn't been that guy. So why now would he be? I mean, this also in a way reminds me of, I was waiting for Sean Payton to quote Dick Vermeil. Look, Kurt Warner did this after Trent Green went down in a preseason game. Is a surprisingly sad Dick Vermeil said, you know, we will put all our faith in Kurt Warner. And it worked. You know, if you're looking for the Frank Reich thing, fits the description of what's going on here. But if you're looking for an example of starter goes down, it looks like they have nobody else. But this was beginning of the season when it happened with Green and Warner. And now we're here. You have 2 games to win a championship. It's the Kurt Warner example. And Warner had played. He had played in the Arena League. He was back in the NFL. Is Jared Stidham Kurt Warner? Frank Reich? I don't think so. We'll see. I'd feel better if the Broncos had a running back or running backs I believed in, or hadn't had their offensive line pushed around by the Bills' defensive line, a defensive line, a front seven with no Pro Bowlers last week. So that's, you know, I'm the same guy who said all along, Vrabel's not a good coach. He's done a great job coaching this group this year. McDaniels, as an offensive coordinator, gets to run the show. Josh McDaniels has called offensive plays for so many playoff games and playoff wins. And even when Drake May holds the ball too long, takes too long to make a read, is careless with the ball, as he was, you didn't notice it as much because of how bad C.J. Stroud was last week. McDaniels just keeps calling plays and is very experienced and has, dare I say, more to work with a couple of running backs. You know, he's actually done it in more playoff games than Sean Payton has. And the results have been better. And I do just love the way the Patriots play for Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff. We're past the... And playing against Jared Stidham to get to a Super Bowl kind of fits everything that has happened all year. Other than playing the Bills, a Bills team with no defensive Pro Bowlers, Is the window open, or do you not notice because Josh Allen is there? Is that distracting you from noticing the window has been closed a couple of years? James Cook, an offensive tackle, and that's kind of it. Were the Bills that good? They played well against the Jags. Jags didn't play well, right? This kind of fits into the Patriot path all year. Can the Patriots get to a Super Bowl by only playing in the regular season one team that made the playoffs, who fired their coach at the end of the season, and the Chargers and Texans and then Jared Stidham led Broncos? This AFC Championship is entirely on Broncos defense and Sean Payton, which may be enough. Honestly, if they pull this off, barring them getting a different quarterback and I know they'd have 2 weeks to prepare for whomever, Denver winning this probably means the Super Bowl is a blowout. I'd give Denver more of a chance here in this spot on their home field against New England than in 2 weeks against the Rams or the Seahawks. So if you want a good Super Bowl, sorry, Broncos fans, I think you want New England to win here. This is not to say that the Rams and Seahawks can't do things to Drake May and the Patriots offense to make that a blowout as well. But New England is more the complete team because the Broncos don't have the quarterback. Would I feel different if Stidham goes out and he's 19 of 23 for 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no fumbles, takes 2 good sacks, uses his legs? Sure, I'll feel differently. That's why we play the games. But I like New England. And there's a reason why they are like the biggest road favorite in AFC, NFC championship history. I've kind of been waiting for them to run up a number in one of these playoff games. It might happen here, even though Denver's defense is that good. At what point, if Denver's offense can't do anything, does the Denver defense just break down because they've been on the field for so long and their back is up against their own end zone? In the NFC, so I'm going against what I would normally say and just take the head coach or the offensive background, and I'm sticking with Vrabel. I know, it's just one of those years. But I will go with McVay and the head coach with the offensive background. Granted, Seattle has an excellent offensive play caller in Clint Kubiak, which the more the days go by, the more it feels like Kubiak maybe isn't interested in being a head coach next year. And granted, he's still working. Come next week, he could be the Raiders head coach, just throwing a name out there. Throwing a team out there. But there's less and less out there to suggest it's definitely going to happen. I think it's probably more likely to happen with Vance Joseph leaving the Broncos than Kubiak leaving the Seahawks. It's at least even. But for what Kubiak has to do with Darnold, who still, it doesn't sound like he's right. It wasn't a factor against the Niners, but did they really need Darnold to do that much? Now there's no Charbonnet. Ken Walker is one of the more tough-to-read backs in the NFL. There have been times where he has looked strong, consistent, run hard, effective between the 20s in the red zone, and then there are times I said coming into this year, I just think Charbonnet was a better back. It didn't play out that way, but down near the goal line, in a higher percentage of situations than otherwise, Charbonnet was in the game, not Walker. Now Walker is that guy, and I would assume, knowing what it means when you assume, he will get more looks. Granted, the Seahawks have others they can put in on down and distance, but do you really want to do that with a Super Bowl on the line? Big believer in JSN. Rams secondary played better and needed to in the game against Chicago. Unthinkable letting Komet get alone in the back of the end zone, kind of letting your guard down. Caleb running backwards like he did, that's the equivalent of the kick returner, punt returner that drops the ball and a guy lets up for a second and then suddenly isn't ready when the play is coming at him. That's what I think happened on that play. Still credit to Caleb for pulling it off. But is Darnold's not going to take advantage of a secondary of the Rams that doesn't tackle well. Darnold's not going to run the ball. Charbonnet's not there to take advantage of that. It's kind of only Walker at this point. The opening kickoff touchdown did set a tone. I didn't think it would mean as much as it did. Even with the Seahawks getting up, 17, I thought the Niners would return serve, you know, like an NBA team and go on a run. That's just been what's happened in the NFL. It just never happened. It was the quicksand that the Niners couldn't get out of. Seattle won't have it that easy against the Rams. McVay is coaching harder than he's ever coached. He wants it. Yeah, I've had athletes tell me, when you win one championship, you want that second one exponentially times more than you wanted the first one because you have it. You know what the experience is like. The Rams still have their holes. A secondary that doesn't tackle well. Dropped off second half of the season. Special teams. Every time they go back to punt or every time they kick a field goal, even with the thicker kicker, you wonder, is this where a big mistake is made? Kyren Williams looks really good. Was using Corum as much as McVay used Corum as the year went on to save Kyren for now. Is Devontae getting healthier? Can they use Devontae the way they want to? How much does Devontae want to get to a Super Bowl since he's been so close so many times? Rams got a lot of questions, but they do have a lot of good things going for them. And the Seahawks are well ahead of where I thought they would be. Obviously, the Patriots are well ahead of where I thought they would be. I can't really see too much in the two previous meetings between Seattle and the Rams to take much out of it, other than both teams are good, both teams are capable. In both games, I will say, the Rams were in a position to put the Seahawks away, and they didn't do it. So that's dangerous. You can look at that two ways. That's, well, the Rams dominated both games, even if the final score didn't indicate it, or the Seahawks just know they can play with the Rams. So even if things don't go their way, they're going to be in a position to win the game, which makes them very dangerous. So I'll go with the Rams. I don't feel there's a lot this week I don't feel very strongly about. I'll be honest with you. So between the two, I will go here with McVay, the head coach with the offensive background, Stafford over Darnold, Kyren over Ken Walker. Seahawks defense is better than the Rams. It is. I think Jared Verse, though, might be the best defensive player on the field. best athlete on either defense. So yeah, give me the Rams, and give me New England. And we'll see if I can split on that. I'm not confident that's a 2-0 to get me to 9-3 ATS going into the Super Bowl. I will say, for those that look ahead, if you're looking at matchups and get your money back if the matchup doesn't happen, or the NFC versus AFC, I feel pretty good the NFC is going to win the Super Bowl this year. Whether it's Seattle or the Rams. I don't feel strongly that we're looking at two AFC teams that can go into the Super Bowl and match up for 60 minutes against one of those two NFC teams. I would probably say that even if Bo Nix was healthy. That's enough for me. What do you think? Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Go Canes. Hell of a run by Mario Cristobal and Miami. Not surprised. Indiana won. Very impressed by Mendoza and Indiana. They didn't play their best game and still won a national championship. Not like they had been there before. That's a true test of a champion. Ask a Tiger Woods what some of his more memorable wins were. It was when he didn't have his best stuff, and he still pulled it out. And that's what Indiana did against Miami. Just a quick comment there on the way out. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com.